Hey guys, in today's episode, we look back at some of the crazy news this NFL week and then talk about some trade reactions in our 757 league.
Welcome to the Coach and Commish podcast. No, not Adam Gase, and definitely not Roger Goodell. It's Chris and Sean breaking down fantasy football for the everyday man.
Welcome back to here, the Coach and Commish. Sean on my right, I'm Chris. And Sean, I think we can coach NFL teams.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Anybody can come off the street and coach an NFL team.
Yeah.
As long as Ursay knows you.
Yeah, I mean, I coached high school football, which is like what Jeff Saturday did. You know, now he played in the pros, but let's just talk coaching experience only. I got similar resume as Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
I should do that. But yeah, we had some crazy news here, and the Colts firing their head coach, which we thought would happen.
I think that's the definitely the lesser surprising of this news.
It was the naming of Jeff Saturday, who was on the payroll with the Colts as a special advisor,
mm-hmm.
and skipping the whole staff. Ursay goes straight to the advisor. Yeah,
they had two guys on staff, I think, that had head coaching experience.
Yeah, if it's just the interim tag, why not keep it in-house for the rest of the season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, so we can talk all day long how it doesn't make sense football-wise, but fantasy.
Yeah, that's what we need to talk about.
What's this telling you as an owner of Pittman
and JT.
Jonathan Taylor? Those two specifically.
So, I'll do the doom and gloom, and then I'll give you some silver lining. So, bad news is it looks like they're out on this season. Scary for if JT continues to struggle with this ankle at some point, do they just shut him down and say, hey, you're our most valuable piece, let's wait till next year. And then, you know, same goes for Pittman to where this offense, you know, they're not going to put a lot of effort into being amazing if, you know, they're not going to tank, but, you know, they're going to put themselves in situations to not win games. We'll put it that way. But the silver lining I will give is Saturday is an offensive lineman or was an offensive lineman. They tried to recruit him as an offensive lineman coach for the Colts. So if maybe he can fix this offensive line a little bit, then maybe they get things going. They're not like completely out of it because their division is not great. Yes, so they can definitely still make a push. So I think these next 2 weeks are going to be crucial for if JT looks like he's getting healthy, the Colts maybe win a game or two, then I think that you have some hope there. But overall, I'd say bad news for Colts.
Yeah, bad news. I think it's
for fantasy. Just, yeah, I wouldn't be too happy. The other, you know, maybe hope is that because the offense wasn't working because of Reich, then maybe the new play caller finds some new magic. But that's really where we're at.
You roster Michael Pittman, right?
Yep.
If you have Pittman, unfortunately, on there, yeah,
everywhere. I have him everywhere.
So it's personal here to you. Are you starting him still rest of the season just because?
I think in most leagues you have to at least flex him. He's got that upside. You know, he seems to be the number one target. He's getting a pretty good target share. You got to hope that Sam Ellinger can continue to improve and maybe, you know, we'll see some uptick. But if you have better options, then no, you don't have to start him. He's definitely not a must start. But in my situations, I'm seeing that he's better than, you know, these waiver wire pickups that I have options for.
Then Jonathan Taylor, if he's healthy, it's almost like you have to start him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100% have to start him. If he says he's playing, then I'm still for sure in the category of I'm playing JT.
Okay. Now, let's go to from one injury in JT to a new one with Josh Allen. They came off a very weird game.
Lost to the Jets.
You didn't think that they were going to shut down the Bills' offense like they did. But now he has a sprained elbow, specifically the UCL, which if you're a baseball guy, that's usually the Tommy John area.
Yeah.
So
he dealt with this, I think, in his rookie year, and they shut him down for a while. So I know there's rumors going around. People are scared of that. I think he plays through it. You know, they keep going back to this down-the-field throw he had afterward that looked fantastic with plenty of strength. Probably going to be a pain management thing. They're big-time Super Bowl contenders, so I think he plays through it. I don't know. We'll leave it to our experts and Joe
and Tim
and Dr. Tim James, not an MD.
Not an MD.
Really not an MD. He now does mortgages.
Yeah, he's chasing the money.
But they can speak more to if it'll be like a continued re-injury type of thing. From what I know, I think it's more of a pain thing and eventually it will heal. But we'll see. I think my guess is he plays through it, though, and I don't think it severely hurts his fantasy value. If you can go get, you know, the moon for him right now, it might not be a bad time because they haven't announced any, you know, time he's going to miss.
Yeah, and like if the Bills were, you know, in a different division.
Yeah.
They might have gone maybe a week or two rest, but losing to the Jets, losing to the Dolphins, so already losses in the division.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you look like a playoff team, but you're looking for the bye week. You're not just competing with Kansas City to be number one in the AFC. Like, you got to get out of your
They got to win the division. Yeah.
So they need
them Dolphins
every
are coming.
Single week. Oh, yeah. Beautiful offense there in Miami. Terrible defense. Great for fantasy.
Yeah.
Last quick thing. Odell Beckham watch. Who do you think he's signing with?
I mean, it should be the Packers, but it won't be the Packers, so I'm not going to say the Packers.
Cowboys?
I don't think so. Honestly, I think the Giants is a real
Going
possibility. I think it really could happen.
Okay.
I think it could be the Giants. Or I still wouldn't count the Rams out. I think it's still possible he goes back to the Rams.
I like the Cowboys thing.
Okay.
I do like that.
Just the,
so.
Jerry wants the splash. And,
yeah.
And they're playoff contending for sure. So.
Yeah, so just wondering. Everyone's talking about it. I just wanted to know what you said.
All right. Let's move on to our party question.
Ian, would you like to go to a party in my pants?
No, Brick.
All right. Let's go.
All right, this week's party question
is... It's a fun one. I like it.
It's football-oriented here. What franchise...
So all the wives, you can turn it off. And yeah, this is the only part you listen to, so sorry, it's more football.
Which NFL franchise would you buy? And there's some rules here in the way we picked it. It has to be currently in the bottom half.
Okay, so just non-playoff teams right now.
Non-playoff teams. And it can't be our favorite teams, which luckily for us,
that's true.
They're in the top half, so they weren't even in contention. So he's a Dolphins fan. I'm a Vikings fan. We can't pick those guys, and they weren't even on the list for the bottom half.
I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, and then we're going to ask each other questions. But I stayed within my NFC North like roots here, and I went with the Detroit Lions.
All right.
I've been to Ford Field. I've been in Detroit there for some games, and the thing I love the most about it, and yes, Hard Knocks kind of influenced me, but the fan base is loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want Eminem showing up at your stadium. And
they want, you know, they're loyal and they're hungry. And I want to be that owner that finally brings a Lombardi back.
You want to go to Barry Sanders and say, I got you, bro.
Yeah. It's like, you should have had me. I was 10 when you were great, but I should have been your owner because this is what Detroit needs. Like, they've always had this bad thing in their history of never spending on players.
Yeah.
So there are some.
Chris is going to be spending the money. Let's go get away
there in Detroit. If you just make him come and be playoff worthy every year, the fans are going to love me.
All right. So what's some moves you'd make? Would you keep the staff in place, or what are you doing?
I would. One hire I always wanted to see Detroit do, and they went a different route. Could give this general manager that they currently have a little more of a chance, but I want to hire Lewis Riddick.
All right. Going
the analyst route. I would love to have him in my front office to help make some great moves because that's just what they have never done. Like, tell me when to pay the guy. Tell me when to trade the guy. Like, I want somebody that's going to not just be blown. Like, he feels like he's strong enough to where he's going to stick to his guns.
All right.
It might be a little crazy, but head coach. Probably keeping the manimal there. I'm keeping Campbell.
Right.
He needs
Guns
some better
Mahoney.
Coaches around him. I need to talk to him about that because that defense is got some individual talented players, but they can't stop anybody.
Yeah,
and like I know that. You know, there's these former pros. They know what it takes. I'm like, you need
to get a defensive mind in there.
A little more X's and O's behind it because right now you're losing in the game of chess on defense. So that's who I would go. I would go Detroit Lions.
All right, and then the last question. Are you okay with a Texas boy moving up to the north there and and living in that cold abyss.
You know, it's have a great home.
He's like, I'll have a home there. I'll be living more in the South, but then
as soon as the season's done for the middle of winter, I'll be playing a golf course down south.
All right.
Who are you taking?
A couple of options here. I thought about the Steelers. I like Tomlin. I think they've got a good basis now with Najee, Pickett, Deontay, and Pickens. But I didn't want to go that route. Cincinnati felt a little bit like cheating because they're probably going to make their way into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously having Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins is very enticing. And Joe Mixon, Mr. 55 points. Hey, thank you for the fantasy win this week. But I went with the Denver Broncos, actually. So I'm a big Russell guy. I know there's a lot of people that don't like him out there. I love Russell. I think that he can be good again. This is just a stumble. I think the coaching staff is horrendous. So if you're going to ask me that question, that's the first thing I'm doing.
Yeah,
that's my first question. I'm getting Hackett out of there. This is not working. I don't think he's experienced enough. We've seen enough boneheaded, you know. At the beginning, you got to give the guy a pass, but they continue to be awful. And I'm going to hire Bieniemy. I don't know why this guy doesn't have a job yet as a head coach.
That kind of alarms me why he hasn't.
My guess is he's been offered, and he hasn't gotten the situation he wanted. So
okay.
He's gone out in there, so obviously there's been some situations he's been interested in.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't been fired or hired, but he's been under Andy Reid long enough to where I think he runs a lot of that offense. And if he can combine that with Russell Wilson, fingers crossed my boy Javonte eventually comes back, although I've traded you everywhere. I think that you have a good shot at having a really good team. I love the city, Denver, in general. You know, I would definitely move there. That's one of the coolest places I've ever been. I think it's a really cool place to be. And then the draft capital, they just traded Chubb. I don't mind that trade for them either. I think, you know, picking up those picks was a big thing. And they'll, you know, we can go out and make some moves.
Yeah, I like that you chose a place where I think a head coach change is all they really need.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, and I think they'd be perfectly fine. I predict that in the actual real NFL future.
Yeah, he might not make it through this year, to be honest with you. It's not looking good, so.
Yeah, so that was our party question of the week. You know, putting on our football hats. I think we could turn franchises around.
Yeah.
First off, where's that money coming from? The Powerball already left us, man. We didn't get to $2 billion there.
I know. That's not enough now. It's $7 billion, it looks like.
$7 billion for the lowly Commanders. Can't imagine what the other ones are costing.
Broncos. All right. Let's move on to some specific 757 league talk. Also, we didn't mention this at the opening of the show, but we're kind of making a little shift here with our content. I think we're going to keep...
It's a big shift.
Yeah, I guess it is. for old man Chris over
old
there.
Old man me, he's
a whole year older than me, but... Yeah, we're going to shift a little bit the content. We're going to keep the podcast more to the local league talk. Those seem to be the guys engaging with it that enjoy it. You guys out of the league that, you know, love it, I hope you enjoy what the podcast becomes. I appreciate you guys, too, those that have come in. And,
thank you,
Tim Cook. You're not, if you're, you talk about the MVPs. I mean, if you're not in this league and you listen to these podcasts all the way through, then, you know, we appreciate it because it's fun for us to do this. So this will kind of be more of the fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have, you know, dreams and goals to try to be, to make this even a living someday. So to do the content that I think will work and help people in, you know, just fantasy analysis.
Yeah.
We've started up on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts, and we've seen some really good success so far.
A lot.
I think we're close to 200,000 views on TikTok with our first like 6 or 7 videos. Like
a ton of comments, man.
Yeah, that's the engagement. I love it. I've been on there going crazy with comments. I've tried every single one. So if you do hear this and you want to get daily content for fantasy in short form, that's where we're at. TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube Shorts.
1 minute or less, we'll give you our best advice. Some of the things that we did in the middle part of these podcasts, now we're just putting it where we can reach the thousands.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously we're that amazing that the masses must hear what we have to say. So
they need to.
Let's move on to And, you know, this is a great thing to say right after I promote our short-form content and what good analysis we are. Let's review these trades as two teams that are not currently in the playoff. I think I'm 10 and you're 12 in the league. So.
Yeah, I'm 12. 12.
But we promise we're really good elsewhere. It's just this league.
I really am.
To be a thorn in our side. So, all right. So 757 guys. I'm going to talk about a big trade that went down last week.
It all involves one person.
It always when you say the word trade, we know who we're involving. Yeah, and that's the Royce. You are the trade master.
Yes, sir.
We were going to have a segment about it, but you guys know trading with the Royce. This man's got some voodoo juju going on because he traded me, JT Walker. I think a lot of people thought that that was a slam dunk for me. Not looking that way right now. Walker would be great. And he's included in this deal, so let's bring it up. It was the David and the Royce trade. Sleeper, I think, broke it up. I don't know if you guys did this trade together or if it was just really close.
If this is two separate trades, I'm really mad at David. Yeah. Anyways, and LaRoyce.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of combine them, and that would be David got CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, and Chris Olave, and LaRoyce got... LaRoyce got CeeDee Lamb, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Leonard Fournette, and David got Kenneth Walker, Chris Olave, and Dalton Schultz.
Yep.
So I'm going to combine that as a single trade. And what I'm seeing is it looks like LaRoyce must view Leonard Fournette as close to equal of Kenneth Walker, or he did before this week. Obviously, this was done before this weekend. Yeah. Kenneth Walker had another big week, and Fournette continues to struggle. Juju Smith-Schuster, that's kind of a throw-in piece I don't care about. Dalton Schultz, again, a little bit of a throw-in, already been traded away. I think that was a great trade also. David works for both teams, I think, too, actually. I think Morgan, it wasn't a bad idea to try to go get a player that he can use right now.
Yeah.
But really, I think what it comes down to is this CeeDee Lamb and Kenneth Walker debate. And you mentioned it in the chat, LaRoyce, but I really think you underestimated this value of keeping Kenneth Walker and what he can be. Like, if he is the next kind of, we always say the next JT or the, you know, the next CMC, I don't know if it's quite that level, but I do think that he has pretty high chances of being a top 10 running back next year. He'll be drafted as such, maybe even close to that top five if he continues this tear. That's the other part of it. He's winning right now. Like, it's not even just the keeper value. People would probably put him close to the top five of running backs this season, rest of season. But the keeper value is such that David's going to be able to keep him that three rounds from wherever he's drafted, I think, which will maybe be like the fourth if he's drafted in the second.
Because if I'm looking at this correctly, with Travis Etienne is probably the one that LaRoyce values why he was giving away Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, he did mention that his keepers were going to be elsewhere. So he
I'm thinking Hill, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Etienne are probably his keepers to where he's moving away Walker to try to gain pieces around the rest of his roster. I would have done the opposite. I would have tried to stay with both those young RBs over Leonard Fournette, in my opinion, because Etienne or Walker, I'd rather make that my difficult decision going into the offseason.
That's true. See how the rest of it pans out. See what the situation. I mean, obviously, if Trevor Lawrence turns into something, then maybe that's a better team with a quarterback that you can trust more. But
yeah, my crystal ball, I traded away ETN, right? 4 or 5 weeks too early. That's how desperate it was. But I picked him in the third round.
Yeah.
So the keeper values, he's going what, second now?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tyreek Hill. I mean, it doesn't truly...
He was a second, so he'll count as a first.
Yeah, count as a first.
Oh, sorry, he was a third. Sorry, he'll be a second.
Okay, yeah. Wow, Tyreek Hill was a third?
Yeah, that we talked about it. We said it was a fantastic pick, LaRoyce. So overall, wow. I'm going to give David an A-plus on this trade, and I'm going to give LaRoyce, I think... I won't give you the D, but I'm giving you a C-.
And
I hope you caught the innuendo there.
We're looking at that. And how does this benefit... Dave, we talked a lot about LaRoyce's roster. Mm-hmm. Where do you see these moves helping David out?
To me, if I was doing the power rankings again, I would have David at number one now. I just think the trades that he's pulled off to have these guys, I love the team that he's assembled here, and I think it's one that can really go out there and, you know, make some noise to try to win another championship. I think Tim won it last year, but almost a back-to-back for David. I mean, he's Kyler Murray. I think things only get better. Mostert's not, you know, the most fantastic RB2, but when you've got Diggs, Olave, and you know, Kenneth Walker now. I think
Zach Ertz. I mean, that's a really
he's got good Sanders right too. Now. So Sanders probably more his. Yeah, I really like the team he's got. Rashad White. That to me is the part of the trade that really where you messed up, LaRoyce, and where I think David knew this was coming. He's like, you know what? I think that this transition could happen to Rashad White, and I think it's possible that they make more and more Rashad White giving carries, and you've seen it over the last few weeks. So if he ends up having the better Tampa Bay running back out of this trade, then it's lights out.
Do you think LaRoy should ask for the handcuff too in that trade? Is what you're saying?
I think that needed to be in there because you got to protect yourself from that type of thing. To where you know it's the Zeke Pollard thing, where you trade away Zeke, you want Pollard in case Pollard takes over.
You listen to other podcasts right now; they're throwing around the phrase handcuff season. All right, this is the time where you're looking for that, even if it comes to picking up off of waiver wires. I just want to bring a non-football analyst look at this. They need to change that division. That was an inside division trade in our league. LaRoyce, I know you beat me and you're supposed to be the long-lost Schoenrock. I think you belong with a Kalana last name with how you're just feeding these guys to David. I think you're trying to join every single family possible. You're tired of the Schoenrock boys. We gave you everything we had.
And now you're moving on to suck the next division dry.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the other set of brothers, all right, and brother-in-law in the same division? Watch out.
It's true. He took Kenneth Walker from me. Our whole division.
He's just like, I'm done with this one. He's
inevitable.
He's inevitable. I was thinking Marvel little comment there. So, man, I love that trade breakdown. I want to still talk.
I'm going to go back a ways here, right?
Back a ways, because there's so many things where LaRoyce is still top of the league almost behind that Morgan dude. But he also had these great people that if he just like knew when to say no, he could have been great still and probably even better. But he got Alvin Kamara from you in the offseason or going in the draft. Then he flips Kamara in London to my brother for Nick Chubb. Now, the reason why I'm looking at the trade is like, man, if he was patient.
Well, patience in fantasy is not a thing that LaRoyce possesses. LaRoyce has none.
He wants Itchy's trade. This has helped Mike come from 12. Yeah, he had a bad week against Morgan last week, but he gives him a roster that he could be an outside guy getting to a playoff spot because he's got some stud players that are finally waking up. So it's hard to say, LaRoyce, you should have known. No, he was playing for wins now. There's a reason why Mike was making those moves at the bottom. And LaRoyce was just finding moves to stay on top. So he's doing a great job there. But for Mike's trades, this is starting to work out a ton. Because Nick Chubb is no longer on LaRoyce's team. Where's Nick Chubb at now?
He's on Tim's, and he traded him for Jacobs. So just taking this trade, we won't include the Jacobs part of it. But what is your grade kind of for the two of these as we look in hindsight? And take into account what happened, not just where we are currently.
What happened?
So, obviously you have to take into account that Kamara had some injury problems, and he missed some weeks, and we didn't have him.
At the time of this trade, LaRoyce won it.
Okay.
In mine. Mike getting two out of one here keeps his grade higher, as in, getting London and Kamara moving off of Chubb, and, at least he doesn't have that huge of a deficit. He was going for some high, risk players.
Yeah. But I guess look at it this way. If at the end of the year, do you think LaRoyce looks back at this and say, I should not have done that move?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I think the way the Raiders are playing right now, Jacobs' value might go down. It's almost like, and now he's going to see Kamara finally, waking up.
Yeah.
And they're staying with Andy Dalton at quarterback. Yeah. So I think that's even better for Kamara.
So I would, I don't know if you want to give your grades on each team. What would you give LaRoyce's grade for that?
On this, when it happened, or with everything that we are now? Which one do you want to give me?
I would say in the totality of the season. At the end of the season. What do you think at the end of the season you would have graded this?
I would give it a B minus.
For LaRoyce?
LaRoyce.
And then for your brother?
A B plus.
Okay, so not far.
Not far off.
So a fairly fair trade, but you still think that, with the end of the season coming, you think there's a chance for your brother to kind of win it in the end.
To win it at the end, and then I'm just looking at LaRoyce looking back at this, even though at the moment, what you did getting Chubb in there is I can't take all of it into account, but you would look back and say, I could have had a stud lineup to give me my first title.
So I'm going to go actually the other way on it, and I'm going to say I'm going to learn something from you, LaRoyce, and that is sometimes the shiny new toy and the living in the now is worth it. This man is at the top of the league. If he had hung on to Kamara, who knows if he might have lost a couple more games in there. Yeah. Now, you can go a little overboard. I know you know this, as you've maybe won too many trades was a name I think you had. But because if you had held on to Chubb, I think you'd be maybe a little better off, because I still see him as maybe that fifth running back rest of season. Check out our short form content where we talk about that.
Plug.
but I yeah, so I would give LaRoyce a B+ out of this, and I would give your brother maybe like a C+. But if I was doing the trades, this is a kind of trade that I would have done in the past. But I'm trying to learn a little bit from LaRoyce and say, you know, maybe take the Kenneth Walker who's right now performing and can get me wins, then worry about JT, who might turn the season around and have, you know, a Derrick Henry type of end of season.
So let's jump into the great brain of LaRoyce.
All right.
What you just said, it, you learned something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting here in front of your laptop and you're LaRoyce, his kids are playing off the background, and he says, hush, daddy's trying to, you know, ruin people's lives here. What do you think is going through LaRoyce's mind as he's looking at some of these things where we're like, how did he do this? Why did he do this?
So I would say that number one going through his head is he's a little bit addicted to the trade. I think he likes the high of making the trade, and so he's like, I'm gonna make a trade and I need to find a way to do it. Number two, I think there actually is legitimacy to where he thinks, I need to get wins now. I need to get the hot player. I believe in this player. He also has told me before, like, when he doesn't believe in a player, he wants to get rid of him. Like, if he feels like he's out on him, I'm just going to find a way to trade him, and I'm not going to worry too much about what the value is of him or the future could be. He could turn it around. He's like, I'm not going to sit on this egg until it turns rotten. But I think the third thing is, what's going to get the reaction? I think he enjoys, I mean, I enjoy it too. You know, being relevant in the chat weekly and, you know, being the guy that we all, you know, enjoy watching the crazy trades that come up with, and can this one be bigger than the last one, I think is a little bit in there too. So that's what I see the mind of LaRoyce doing. But
I agree with those three. I want to see, what is step four? What is this? Who's a source, bro? Like, really? that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is it Shefty? It's Shefty. It's got to be Shefty. You talking to Matthew Berry? I mean, some of these things, I'm like, wow, how did that work out? I was like, how? It's not being like lucky. Some of the other players have been blessed with the trade pieces you had. But like you said, you just keep winning.
Yeah.
Right? And
eventually the luck will run out. But right now, he's still doing all right. He's up there. Mm-hmm. So, all right, we're going to move on to a little bit of what we call trade theory. You guys wanted us to talk a little bit about what to do. We have a new keeper selection in our league now to where you keep the value based on their draft. And you can really get some good values in there. So, kind of as we talked about with the Kenneth Walker trade, there's a huge keeper value to him. So I kind of want to discuss teams that are on the bubble or, you know, trending downward and think that the playoff chances are dwindling. Like what us? How do they value? I'm not there yet, Chris. Okay. I'm trying to hold on. I'm really trying not to be in that category.
Oh, me, definitely.
Yeah,
me.
Number 12, you might start 14 thinking.
14 losses, no bounce back. Okay.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was that bad.
It's not bad, bro.
So I guess we'll start just asking you these questions. Like, is there a point here where you're going to start to really look at the keeper value? You're going to go through the draft and say, okay, where's some kind of keeper guys I can pull off to trade some values for guys that people want some win now ones?
Yeah, so I've said it in the chat before. Now I'm looking at the keeper value, still wanting to be relevant, but then
because with the two wins, I don't think you're technically eliminated.
No,
yet,
when it comes to the doubles, but what I'm starting getting closer to is, do I put Jefferson out there?
Because he'll be a first round pick.
He's a first round pick. If he goes to a team that's also got some great talent, then they're the ones that have to make the decision. Do I keep Jefferson as well, or like it's like a gamble? Like, okay, I'm giving to a team that's winning now. Like, maybe in two or, well, I mean, I guess we're in the, when's our trade deadline?
I will look that up. You keep talking.
All right. So, you know, teams that need it now, they're going to have to make the hard decision about their value as well. So Jefferson could be back in the draft. So for me, it's like, okay, where am I going to keep lower? Because I need more higher draft capital. So us lower bubble guys that are like, you know what, we're probably not going to make top six. look for that package of when I'm trading away my stud that's going to be a first-round keeper, I need to pay attention to what the keeper value of the guys I'm getting back. I can't trade a first-round pick for a first-round pick. That doesn't help me out. If I'm truly trying to think value for next draft season in keepers, I'm looking for somebody that's, you know, hey, this dude is an upgrade. Like if I trade a receiver, I'm taking a receiver away that's pretty good, probably younger, and he's probably going to be hopefully below rounds, you know, between rounds 5 and 9 maybe. Of somebody that's been competing really well, and that gives me more keeper value because of this new great thing that the Reverend David Kalan has brought into our league. So that's the way I would think as a I'm out of it guy. Without doing a fire sale of like, hey, I'm giving you Jefferson for nobody, I need to look at it anti-Cam Akers way into now true draft
so value. What you're saying is that you're about to really piss Morgan Collins off. He's about to see some trades that he's going to...
Hey, what you got for me, man?
He's like, be a part of the deal if you don't want to be so angry about
it. LaRoyce, as soon as this thing drops, it's just like, we won't even drop it. LaRoyce probably heard
he'll
this somehow.
He'll get the...
He's got a wiretap in here.
Yeah, so offer it. The trade deadline is the week 11, so we're coming up on it here.
Okay.
This is week 10, so I believe that means up all the way until week 11 is over. So I think Monday night,
so.
Like that'll be the last one.
And I think you and like Daniel can look back and make sure it's like that date.
Yeah, and it may end up saying it in Sleeper here soon. They'll give you kind of the warning. But
yeah, some other leagues, it's this week, and it told me in a nice yellow bar.
Yeah, so we should get that eventually. But coming up, so you know, if you want to make these trades, you're going to have to start thinking about it. But yeah, I agree with what you said there. You know, you got to make those moves. I was just looking to see if it had anybody in here that you could kind of go after, you know, make some options for you. So like Chris Olave, he's a great option to where drafted in the 9th round could be a huge value next year. Is that where, you know, you include Olave in a deal to try to get rid of Jefferson and pick up some extra, you know, really good keeper value?
Yeah, I'm thinking a guy like Olave or Garrett Wilson is a harder one, but Olave I like better.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want to like, oh, I'm truly getting a guy who's a late round dude. We know Olave is going to be probably the new stud. Michael Thomas is another broke pinky toe, and he's done again. Olave is the man in, he said, 9th round?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
So he'll be 8th round. Now, it'll again, we only get a 3 round, so let's say he ends up being a 4th round pick, then you'll still get him in the 7th. So
yeah. So, yeah, that's someone I would consider. Maybe there's not...
David's listening very closely.
Straight up, I might ask for another person in there.
And that's what I would say, too, guys. Like, don't... Let's not turn this league into where it's straight dynasty and we're seeing a ton of teams selling off, making juggernauts out of these other teams. If you're going to make these trades, try to make them as fair as possible. Like, don't just give him away. Like, because for Chris, if he's really tanking, then it doesn't matter what the other pieces are because he's probably not going to keep them. So Olave for Jefferson straight up may make sense for what he wants to do next year. But if you're going to make that trade, then you need to get some more out of David to make it a more equal trade for this season alone.
And police,
just try to keep that, you know, gamesmanship in.
Police
I would say,
yourself
guys.
With that. I got an offer in my church league. I'm sitting top over there, and guy offered me like Derrick Henry for Alec Pierce, and then we're swapping picks. We have a rule there. You can't trade your first two picks, first two rounds, and so you get like 3rd, and you have to swap, give him a 15. And I was like, I'll get you that next year. I see that you're tanking. I'm like, that's not enough. I'm giving back. Like I'd like, here, take this other startable running back that's going to be an obvious upgrade. Like, you don't want to be that guy taking a fire sale that's completely unjust. That just ruins the competitiveness in your league.
Yep. And you know, I'm sure we'll have to make a new rule on how to combat this, but
yeah, it's called probably be the Chris rule after I'm done.
It'll be a good change up from all the Phil rules we have. So,
so anything else trade wise, when we're just our league specific, I guess that it kind of does relate to other leagues, but our guys want to know with this new keeper system, is there anything else for the winners or the guys competing for playoffs? What should they do?
Yeah. So for competing guys, again, you know, find those teams that are like Chris and they need maybe some value inside of their teams that you can get a little bit off of. Go look for those trades again. Make them fair. Don't try to completely take advantage of the situation. But I think there will be some in there that you can go in and you can extract some players that down the stretch. Like, what I'd be looking for is the playoff schedule guys, the rest of season really good matchups. That'd be the guys that, even though you know, they're not crazy superstars, but you can go get them. And they that rest of season ranking or schedule does not matter to a guy like Chris that may have given up on this season.
Yeah. So the top six teams, you're saying don't look at your value. Like, don't look at, dude, that guy's going to be a first-round keeper value for me next year. Like, throw that out the window. Go for the win now.
Yeah, I would say for the most part. I would also, you know, keep an eye on who your keepers are. If you're winning, you probably have some really good options.
Yeah.
And you're probably all right to do the Chris thing where just take Jefferson in the first. He's a stud. Yes, it's going to cost you the actual value, but there's a reason the dude's in the first, and he'll be on your team, not someone else's.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't like worry about it so much. Oh, I'm giving away my eighth round pick guy keeper. If you're getting a Jefferson, that's going to be a first round pick for the next 4 years.
Like, honestly, if I was advising Chris in this situation, I still would take Jefferson in the first over Olave in the seventh. To be honest with you,
I'm shopping around for like give me a ton of options.
Yeah,
but
like
yeah.
Jamar Chase, and
it's not like he's an aging star. But then for you top six guys, go for the studs now. Make the tough decision later because it's a lot easier. Trust me, I got three of them. But when you got a ring on your hand, it's okay. It's okay to make like, oh, I lost
just
value.
Just leave your wife out there.
Yeah.
Four, you mean.
Four. Hey, babe, I love you. I don't want to sleep on the couch again. anything else trade review-wise?
No, I think that's it. Again, like I said, if you guys just know that this is going to be more fantasy 757 league talk, so fill up the chat. Give us our content for what we should be talking about. We got a lot going on, so we spend our time to make these podcasts. If you guys want to fill us with what our script should look like, then go for it. I really enjoy kind of the team comparisons. Those are fun. So if you guys have... Andy mentioned something. If you listen to this, Andy, I know you mentioned something in the chat that you wanted to hear. I couldn't find it, so...
We haven't done one this year. That'd be great.
Yeah, so go ahead and give us a couple of those ideas of what you guys think would be fun to talk about and, trash on the league.
Yeah, and I'll put Jefferson up on the trade block after the episode drops.
Alrighty. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Coach and Commish podcast. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Coach and Commish. And join our Facebook group called Fantasy Football Advice with the Coach and Commish for direct access to weekly waiver wire and start sit advice.